If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGen Nation fam, what's up, what's happening? It's the DGen Nation podcast, and we're coming at you live or back in your headphones on the airwaves with the NFL DFS Week 8 picks. We're ready to get after it. Ryan Williams here at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X, and I'm joined, as always, by the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at FantasyRaf13. Kev, it's week 8, man. We are getting further and further along here in this season that just flies by too fast. How are you doing, man? How was your week 7? What are you looking forward to in week 8?
It wasn't too bad. I had some pretty high scores. I think I had a couple lineup score like in the 190, 195 range. Super tilted because it had both my best lineups had JCM in it. So that really pissed me off.
Oh, my gosh.
I played like 35% JCM just because he was 6,100, and I played 40% Juckins, but in those lineups I did not have Juckins in there, so that was frustrating. Also, second week in a row, I was super high on a quarterback, and I didn't play enough of him. Last week I talked about Justin Herbert and how great of a play he was, and that he was going to be undervalued and underowned, and he was, and he ended up being, I think, the best quarterback on the slate. And
it was on our Millie team. He was on our Millie team.
Yeah. And I didn't play enough of them. I had some. And I actually had the nuts of Herbert, Gatson, and Keenan Allen had that with Jonathan Taylor as a run back. So that was one of the higher ones. That was one of the ones that I had. But that also, again, that had JCM on it. That was super frustrating. So
yeah.
But it wasn't a bad week. I think I about broke even, but no huge score, no huge money.
You live to do another day, another week, and that's sometimes all we can ask for. I got raked over the coals, Kev. I was super heavy on JCM with Quinshon Judkins. I mean, Quinshon Judkins just was a lock at the end of the day. Even with the weather kind of changing up there, it was just he was just mispriced for what he was going to be seeing. But you know, I was loving Cleveland defense to go along with him, and somehow went heavy on the Broncos defense because I had the money to be able to spend the 500 to go up. So that was brutal, you know, whatever, a 20 point swing there, I think it was. And then, yeah, I mean, I had a ton of Bo Nix, but just not enough, and didn't have the right pieces together with the right chalk. I mean, you know, chalk just hitting yet again, Kev. It seems like, you know, for at least, you know, two of the past 3 weeks, the chalk has been really strong. You know, you had CeeDee Lamb that you were able to get in there, fit easily with him coming back. Chris Olave ended up being, you know, chalk, the popping off there in the second half against the Bears. There were just a lot. I mean, obviously, Quinshon Judkins, who was super popular, and even like Browns defense, you know, ended up being one of the more popular defenses at 3K. So, like, you know, it's just one of those things. Me and you, we both play a ton of GPPs, and you know, I'm as contrarian as the next person. So when the weeks like that hit, where all the stars align on the chalk, it's not, usually going to be that good of a week for me. But even then, like some pivot plays, like I had a lot of Bo Nix, talked about him on the pod, and, you know, an amazing fourth quarter. You know, that's where true sweats can arise, right? Is like a performance like that from Bo Nix, where, you know, the lineups are just absolutely dead, and then all of a sudden just kind of come to fruition. There's just no worse or greater feeling, whether you're on the one side of that, seeing your lineups just get passed up by Bo Nix and 15 minutes of play is super frustrating, but could be good for you if you had Bo Nix. So, but we move on to a new week, Kev. It's always fun to recap, but, you know, we put it to bed, and it's all about the next week. And here we have a week 8 slate where, you know, you and I were talking pre-show. We're back to a 10 game slate. We don't have, you know, we don't have the European games to deal with. We got only one Monday Night Football game to deal with. And that gives us a 10 game slate with there being, I believe, 6 teams on bye this week. It's bye-mageddon here. And I also, Kev, we didn't talk about this, and not to, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I believe it's tight end week. I saw some people talk about it being last week, and, you know, with George Kittle coming back, it got me thinking, but I believe it's this week. It's like the third Sunday of the month or whatever. It is, so, yeah. Third Sunday of the month. Yeah, interesting to talk about there when we get to tight ends. But you guys, you know how we do it at the DGEN Nation. We break it down position by position before we get into, you know, our overall build for the slate on a Thursday and build that Millie Maker lineup team. And so, you know, when we're talking about the state of the slate, Kev, yeah, we have these six teams on bye, but we still have a ton of, you know, great spots to, or I shouldn't say great, but a ton of interesting spots, let's say that, to target at quarterback position. And obviously, you know, that's where a lot of lineup decisions are made, is from the quarterback position. And you do have some decisions this week to make, I feel like, you know, with the possible return of Lamar Jackson being 6,800. You know, we know that this price is definitely too cheap for a talent of his caliber in a matchup like this at home with the team really needing to win. I think the Baltimore pieces are all mispriced across the board. So for me, that becomes, you know, first decision point. Second decision point is we have Josh Allen on a main slate for what feels like, you know, the first time in a while. He comes in at 7,500 going against his Carolina defense on the road. That's played a little bit better, but we know what Josh Allen's capable of. He can, you know, break any slate that he's on, and he is only 7,500. So he definitely becomes in the mix for me, Kev, because with the way that the Buffalo off, you know, first of all, the Carolina defense has been playing the run a little bit better, and we'll see what happens this week with James Cook going in there. I kind of do have some interest in a Josh Allen, James Cook stack just to get the touchdowns there, but they're dealing with injuries at the wide receiver position. I believe Josh Palmer is injured and landed on IR. Don Kincaid is banged up. And so we get more narrow targets there for Josh Allen, but they still find a way to spread the ball around. So I still think you can do, you know, Josh Allen with the running back, Josh Allen with one pass catcher, maybe even none, just play him naked and hope that, you know, he's ended up rushing for two and that he throws the two touchdowns, not to the same person. And you could really be cooking there at 7,500. So that's an interesting notion for me. We have Dak Prescott going against Bo Nix, and, you know, Dak's been, you know, it looks like Dak of yesteryear, the way that the Dallas Cowboys have been playing on offense. He gets CeeDee Lamb back. This Denver team, they're tough to trust, but we just saw them put up 33 points in a fourth quarter. So we know they can always cook with gas going against this Dallas team. I expect a lot of ownership to be flooding to that Dallas-Denver game. Baker Mayfield, I have some interest in at 6,400. He's probably my second favorite quarterback, I think, of this week. And with Mike Evans being hurt, I do think that this narrows the target distribution a little bit more. And we just haven't seen the propensity for this team to want to run the ball with Bucky Irving not being in the mix there. So Baker, you know, he's always going to be able to put the team on his back. This offense has been flowing. This offense has been flowing through him so far yet this year. And against the New Orleans team here, that's kind of reeling. I have interest in him. Again, we can talk about some of these other guys here, Kev, but I'm going to scroll down because Joe Flacco, he's going to be popular. He's 5,400. But the way that you're able to build around this game here, which, you know, this Cincinnati team's got some life now with Joe Flacco being in the mix. I mean, you know, he's been able to, you know, get Jamar Chase woken up in fantasy. He's been able to get T. Higgins and Chase Brown, who were doing nothing, you know, before he got into the fold, to get them going. So I think there's some interesting pairing pieces with him. This is one of those games where I think you can overstack this game the way it sets up. There's some cheap pieces on the Jets side that really make for an intriguing matchup there. I think Joe Flacco is going to be popular. He's going to be super popular. Him and Chase, I think, will come in super high owned. But the way you know can maybe offset some of that ownership is just fully stacking around this game. So I think those three quarterbacks for me, of Josh Allen, or I should say four, because it's Josh Allen and Lamar at the top for me, I think are interesting in the mid-range there. Baker for me, and then looking at Joe Flacco, I think there's some other, you know, cheap options that are starting to try and rear their head, possible in some, you know, projections and optimizers and things like that. But, you know, I do think I do want to narrow my process. And like I said, I try and be a little bit off the board, a little bit off the page, and think about things and not just really buy into the chalk. But there are some good other spots. Kev, what are you looking at this week when you talk about the quarterback position and where your build's going to take you at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, looking at we don't have, like, the crazy, you know, high total that was the Commanders game last week. We still have some healthy totals. The Cowboys, 50.5-point total, the Ravens game, which I know there's been speculation of, like, if Lamar Jackson is going to play this week. Like, I think Vegas is telling us that they're going to play. Because, one, the Bears are still 6.5-point underdogs, and this game has actually went up in terms of the overall total. So I opened at 48.5. It's up to 49.5. Like, I'm pretty locked in that Lamar Jackson is going to be the starting quarterback of this game, and that's what we want, because it opens up another game for us to be able to play, because you have other spots here like the Colts and the Titans, which has a healthy 47.5-point total, but I'm not excited about this game, at least, like, from the Colts perspective. Like, outside of, you know, I think obviously Jonathan Taylor, which we'll talk about for sure, you know, and then, but after that, you get down to some scores that are like 46.5 between the Bucs and the Saints, and then the Bills game. But I know most of the ownership's going to come in on these top two games. And one, I will say, like, I want Lamar to play, because it opens up the Bears passing game. Because over the first four weeks, the Bears have averaged 32 pass attempts per game, which is okay, not great, but it's still not bad. But since their week five bye, they've actually been extremely run heavy. They're averaging 27 pass attempts per game. On the season, I mean, Caleb Williams has been pretty good this year. 7.3 yards per attempt, 8.3 air yards per attempt, both rank inside the top 12 among quarterbacks. And he's sitting, you know, he's just outside of top 12 in terms of DK points scored per game. But we know this is a great spot. I mean, the Ravens' pass defense is terrible, allowing 255.3 passing yards per game and almost three passing touchdowns per game and over 22 DK points, which is the second most on this slate, to quarterbacks. And so I really like Caleb Williams as long as Lamar Jackson plays. And I think he kind of unlocks the rest of this, because we need Lamar to push the Bears to throw the ball. And they're 6.5-point underdogs, which then becomes, like, you have Rome Odunze, who is extremely too cheap still. And but, you know, he hasn't, you know, I guess, been as good recently. None of us, because they've run the ball so much recently. So I really like Caleb Williams in that game. I also think, you know, past him, I do think Bo Nix is a good play in this spot against Dallas. Like, we know that Dallas, I mean, we talk about how bad the Ravens defense, the Cowboys defense has been worse. They are allowing 277 passing yards per game and almost also three passing touchdowns per game. They've also been bad against rushing mobile quarterbacks, allowing 32 rush yards per game and the second most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks. So, the Cowboys have been so bad. And it's almost nearly four more PPR or four more DK points per game to quarterbacks. So, I mean, Nix is – but I won't lie. I mean, Nix has been really bad this year. Like, I know people are going to look at this game last week and say how great he was. Most of that came on the ground for what he was able to do in that game, but still, this is just a great spot. It's a great matchup here for Bo Nix. So, I mean, Bo Nix, I think, is, what, 6K? So I still have no problem. It's the highest total on the slate. I think Jackson Dart is definitely in play at his cost as well. I mean, Jackson Dart continually gets it done. He's $5,500. But, I mean, he's really been like fantasy gold since taking over since week four. He's currently averaging over 23 DK points per game over his first four starts. So far, his rushing upside has been phenomenal. He has rushed for 54 yards or a rushing touchdown in all four of his starts as well. And then this is actually a pretty solid matchup. We've seen this already once before, against the Eagles, he had 195 passing yards, one touchdown, but he also had 58 rushing yards and another score for 23.6 DK points in that game. And then, you know, the Eagles aren't great against they're okay. This defense has not been what it was last year at all. Like, you can easily run on this defense, and they've also allowed the 14th most passing yards and the fifth most rushing yards to quarterbacks so far. And they're allowing about 18 and a half DK points per game to quarterbacks right now. And so Jackson Dart is a great play as well. He is on the cheap side, easy, cheap stack to get to with Dart. And then if you want to go Wandale, you could do that. Or I don't even mind pairing him up with Cam Scadaboo, who's decently involved in the passing game. We'll talk about him once we get to the running backs. But Jackson Dart, I really like him. And then, you know, you talked about Joe Flacco, but it's hard not to love Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco has been awesome since taking over with the Bengals. He's averaging 19, or he scored 19 and then 26 DK points over his first two starts. And then, you know, this week against the Jets, the Jets defense have been okay against opposing quarterbacks, allowing the 14th most DraftKings points to the position. But without Sauce Gardner, that's a pretty big blow. I don't know who's going to be able to stop Ja'Marr Chase in that game. And so Joe Flacco is just, I mean, I think he's just too cheap. And for everybody, I know a lot of people are going to want to pay up for the running back because the elite running back plays are phenomenal this week. I mean, all of them are in just great spots. At least two of the three, the top three guys, which we'll talk about when we get to running backs, are in such good spots this week that, like, you want to try to find a way to probably pay down at quarterback so we can get up to some of the really expensive running back plays that are on this slate. And so, you know, playing a guy like Joe Flacco, playing a guy like Jackson Dart allows you to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, running back is definitely going to be a talking point for us on this slate. Quarterback has been paying off, you know, so far this year. We really have had some decent spots, some good spots of pay down options where guys are priced. So that could be happening yet again. But I do think, you know, these guys who are at the top, I mean, even Jalen Hurts, you know, in a bounce back spot against bounce back spot last week. You know, they had a disappointing game against the Giants before, and now Philly's at home, got that home crown behind him. I could definitely talk myself into, you know, getting some exposure to him as the week goes on. Because like you said, I mean, Jackson Dart against anybody, you know, at the current state of where this offense is functioning. I mean, if this is without Malik Nabers, like, can we imagine if Malik Nabers was out there in this offense for this kid? Like, he's just absolutely balling. Cam Scadaboo's balling. So, you know, I think these Giants games are ones that we want to keep an eye on because of the way that this offense is playing on the other side. So maybe I am overlooking Hurts a little bit, but I do think these top three, you know, quarterbacks have to be in conversation, whereas we haven't had, you know, the top quarterbacks necessarily in elite spots. Like, even last week, Kev, we kind of talked on Patrick Mahomes a little bit, and he was looking like he was going to put the slate way out of reach, you know, last week in that first half. And then, you know, hey, and ends up, hey, you got 268 yards passing and three touchdowns at, you know, halftime. Don't worry about the rest of this game, buddy. We got this in the bag. So I don't think we have that situation with either, you know, of these other teams who have the three highest priced quarterbacks on the slate. So very, very interesting a slate there from that perspective, especially as we start to see later in the season that Chark starts to form on this quarterback position a little bit more than it had earlier on in the season. Kev, are there any other things you want to talk about at quarterback before we can dive into that running back situation you were alluding to?
No, I mean, I just think some of the other players that, like, we've been into, like Drake May, I mean, I don't love the spot against Cleveland.
Yeah, tough spot.
Defense. Daniel Jones, again, like, I feel like this is, like, that we've already seen this game once before, despite the fact that the Colts scored 41 points in that game. Daniel Jones only had 15.8 DraftKings points in that game just because they were able to just lean on Jonathan Taylor, which is what I fully expect to get in this matchup. And then, like, the high-priced guys, like, I mean, you can play Lamar, right? Like, if you want to play Lamar, $6,800 Lamar, like, I will not – I mean, I know he's coming off injury, so it's always worrisome. But I think, you know, it's easy to stack Lamar, whether you want to stack him with, say, Flowers, you know, who's super cheap. Honestly, I mean, and we've seen this work, like, last year. I mean, this paid off, like, multiple times last year, playing Lamar Jackson with Derrick Henry and just getting all the touchdowns from that game. And Derrick Henry, though – I mean, Derrick Henry used to be $7,500, $7,800. And, you know, people were doing that last year with Lamar and just stacking Lamar and Derrick Henry. But now Derrick Henry's 6K. And so it just becomes a little bit easier to pull something like that off. So, like, I'm not opposed at all of playing Lamar Jackson at $6,800. It's just when we get to the running backs, there's some guys that I definitely want to get to. And because of what they did with the pricing for running backs this week, like, it makes it a lot tougher to be able to pay up for an expensive quarterback. Like, I really don't have any interest in Josh Allen because, like, I have a little bit more respect for this Panthers defense than I think other people have or do. This Panthers defense has played pretty well this year for the most part. Like, this is not a defense in years past where, you know, you've been able to run all over them. Like, that is not a thing. Like, they have come in and shut down most every running back they've faced this year. I mean, we're talking about some of the top running backs that they've come in and just completely shut them down. And so, like, I don't necessarily love it. And then they've also been decent against the pass, too. So, like, it is still Josh Allen. Josh Allen can go nuclear at any time, and especially with his legs and stuff like that. So, like, I'm not saying it's impossible. But with him being so much more expensive than everybody else, I don't think that he's going to be able to produce, like, a got-to-have-it score that I feel like I had to have, or I'm going to feel like I'm missing out on something on this slate. And so I just probably won't have any Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, I get it, Kev. I think that's where it becomes interesting. It's like when we get the state of the state of the Buffalo Bills with their receiving corp and what that's shaping up to be. You know, I think it becomes more interesting to kind of play him solo, play him with James Cook, and not try and guess who that pass catcher is going to be. I mean, maybe I could be talked into some Khalil Shakir. As the one off with a couple pieces being out, but you know, that's the way to kind of play it. I feel like is not trying to guess who Josh Allen has, and maybe, you know, pairing him with a Carolina piece or two on the other side, because if we are getting, you know, points scored in that game, that's what's going to open up Josh Allen going nuclear. Let's talk about running back position, Kev, because you've alluded to a couple points at the running back position this week, which are all interesting to talk about. I mean, first, we can just touch on, you know, the elite running backs at the top. As you've kind of alluded to, we have Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, and Bijan Robinson. It pains me not to be able to put Saquon in that category here. And hey, maybe this is the you know, revenge narrative pop off for Saquon. He's already played this team, you know, in New York and in the Meadowlands, I believe. And then they come back to Philly, and he's got the crowd behind him now. So maybe he puts up, you know, against his former team at only 7,600. But Bijan, 8,800, Christian McCaffrey, 9K, and Jonathan Taylor, 95. Like, you have to make some concessions on your roster to be able to fit some of these guys in. I think Bijan, you know, just is the first talking point because he'll be the of most interest. He's a home running back in a favored matchup going against the Miami team that, you know, is basically lost and a shell of themselves as they once were. And his usage on this team is absolutely insane right now. And, yeah, what's not to like about him? So he becomes first and foremost. You know, we have Christian McCaffrey going against this Houston defense, which I'm not sure if many people are paying attention to that island game there that the Houston Texans had. But this defense is just like, man, keep trying to keep them alive in games where they can. Their front seven is just so good. Secondary stingy, like, it's Christian McCaffrey. He can pop off in any matchup. But, you know, on this road matchup against Houston, I think he's probably my least favorite of the three to be able to target and put in lineups this week. And then Jonathan Taylor, you know, it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, you know, even for the caliber player that Jonathan Taylor is, just to put him into your lineup at 9,500, because you are definitely chasing that, you know, trifecta, the you know, three touchdown game from him, and hoping that he absolutely goes bananas. And you know, this Indy team's at home, like they're gonna put up points. It's, you know, where are these points coming from is kind of always the measure. And you know, last week they happened to flow through Jonathan Taylor, but maybe they do flow through Daniel Jones this week in that matchup. It's tough to digest, but I know that optos and projections are gonna want to put him in lineups. But for me, I think I would go Bijan first at the top. And then you alluded to it already, Kev, like there is some mispricing here at the running back position. You know, I mean, Derrick Henry at 6K, like there's no way, shape, or form that Rico Dowdle should be $300 more than him, that Breece Hall should be more expensive than him, that he should only be $200 more expensive than J.K. Dobbins. Like it just doesn't really make any sense with the potential of Lamar being back. So I think you definitely have to have interest in that. You know, when we're talking about some of these other, you know, cheap running backs in this range, I'm not sure if I'll get there. I think the mid range is looking good to me. I do have interest in Rashad White. I do have interest in Scadabo with the way he's playing. I think I'll probably have a little bit of interest in Chase Brown with my Joe Flacco teams, with the way that he's, you know, getting in the mix. And I don't think too many people are catching on to that yet. So I want to get out ahead of the curve with him. But I think it'll be probably, you know, for me at this time, trying to get one of those staple, you know, high price running backs into my lineup, most likely Bijan. And then I'll play around with the, you know, 6K, 5K range and to be able to fit, you know, try and fit that in and then see what I do with the flex, if I can make something work for three running backs or not. But really for me, it's going to start two running backs and go from there. Kev, what are you seeing at the running back position? And talk to the people if there are any other off the radar plays or cheap running backs that we could be overlooking.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson are the two that I just love. Like, you know, this game with Tennessee is at home for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Jonathan Taylor has just been phenomenal so far to start this year. He's also involved in the passing game, but you know, three touchdown upside every time he steps on the field. He already has three games this year of three touchdowns. And then Bijan, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better matchup, really, for against running backs. We've seen the Dolphins just get absolutely steamrolled by just about every running back this year. You know, Kamani Vidal and Rico Dowdle just having career games against them, and now you get Bijan Robinson at home. And he's somehow the cheapest of the three top running backs here at 8,800. But, like, that's too cheap. Like, him and Jonathan Taylor and Chris McCaffrey, for that matter, should be 10K. They're still too cheap. Now, yeah, you know, if you're paying up this much, like, you got to they got to go out and give you 30-plus DK points for them to, you know, pay off their salary. But, like, these spots that both of them are in, between the Titans and I guess the Dolphins, are just incredible. And so it's really hard to get away from it. Maybe the better spot is like splitting the difference and taking one of them in each lineup. Like, I will not have a lineup without at least one of these guys in the run. And I do agree that Bijan is to me is probably the smarter play and the better play here of the two. But still, I mean, Bijan has been phenomenal. As far as like the cheaper running backs, on, you know, the guys I've already kind of mentioned, but I will talk about it. Like, one, I agree with you with Rashad White, especially at $6,400. He has been a true workhorse. He's played 82% of the snaps, 14 carries, 4.3 targets so far, you know, since he's taken over for Bucky Irving. And, you know, the Saints defense allow the fourth most rushing yards, the 11th most touchdowns, and the 10th most DK points to running back so far this year. And so the game script should be in their favor. And like I said, I mean, he is a, you know, he's a true workhorse that you're only paying $6,400 for. And the Bucks are 4.5-point favorites. And the Bucks also have the 8th highest supply team total this week. And so, it's really hard not to want to play Rashad White. And so, you know, pairing a Rashad White with a Bijan or something like that, I think Cam Scadabu is also another player that has been a true workhorse, averaging 15.4 carries, 3.4 targets per game. And, you know, he's been fairly consistent in terms of what he's been able to score on the ground as a runner. He's been phenomenal. 12th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 14th in yards after contact per attempt. And as a pass catcher, he's been just as good. And he also sports a really good 13% target share. He's running a route on 50% of dropbacks. And he's also top 12 in yards per route run. And the Eagles have been pretty bad against running backs. They are allowing the 9th most DraftKings points to running backs. And we've already seen this matchup once. and where he went off for 110 total yards and three touchdowns in that game whenever they played the Eagles a couple of weeks ago. And so Scataboo is 100% in play. I think that, like, Breece Hall is kind of interesting because on one hand, like, nobody's afraid of the Bengals defense. The Bengals defense is still really, really bad. They're allowing 122.7 rushing yards per game and the eighth most touchdowns so far. And they've also struggled against pass catching running backs. They've allowed the fourth most receiving yards and the most receiving touchdowns to running backs. I know last week Breece Hall was pretty popular, but I don't know if he's going to be this week after, you know, a couple bad, really bad weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think with Tyrod Taylor, at the very least, this offense, at least on the passing side of things, should be better than what it was. It does sound like Trey Hendrickson's going to play. So that, you know, is a little bit of a downgrade because they might actually be able to get a pass rush here. Because it's wild. The Jets, over their last three games, are allowing nearly 7 sacks a game over their last three. Like, that is ridiculous. Wild. But yeah. The Eagles, I mean, the Bengals have not been able to get a pass rush. Like, it's basically just been it's just been Trey Hendrickson. So, I do think, though, Breece Hall at $6,100, you could play him. And then, you know, you kind of already mentioned it, but Chase Brown is the other guy that I really wanted to talk about because, you know, Chase Brown has been really bad this year. I mean, there's no denying it. I mean, he still has a 76% opportunity share, but he hasn't scored any touchdowns since week one. And I think that's what's really hurt him. He's actually been pretty decent, though, in the passing game, despite really not playing a lot of third downs. That's been Samaje Perine. But he still received the 7th most targets, run the 8th most routes among all running backs. And so, like, I think this is actually a good spot, though. The Bengals are 6.5-point home favorites against the Jets. The Jets have allowed the 6th most rushing yards and 6 total touchdowns to opposing running backs. And so I think Chase Brown, at least at just $5,400, you know, I think it's a solid play if you want to pay down for a running back. Some others, like, I've kind of gone back and forth with is, like, Woody Marks. Last week, Woody Marks played 61% of the snaps. He had 13 total touches against the Seahawks. You know, it wasn't a phenomenal game, but still he did find the end zone. And we know the 49ers defense is kind of banged up. Now, the 49ers defense still played pretty well despite not having Nick Bosa or Fred Warner. But, I mean, this team is down a ton of players. I mean, Nico Collins looks like he's going to be out. Christian Kirk pretty much already ruled out. So, like, I could see him being utilized more as a pass catcher here in this spot, but might be a little bit too thin. Like, I don't know what his true ceiling is, but it is a home spot. He's $5,100. You know, maybe in GPPs, maybe you take a couple shots on him there. But I think that's about as far as I would go, probably a running back, unless something crazy opens up. Right now, I don't see anything else that really stands out to me. But I'm going to be fairly consistent. I'm going to play Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson. And then, you know, I'm going to drop down to the Cam Scataboo range and play Cam Scataboo, Rashad White, maybe some Breece Hall. But then also, if I really want to pay down from there, you know, I think that I'd play somebody like Chase Brown.
What are you doing with Devon Achane this week? Are you writing him off completely, or do you have any interest in that on the other side of that Atlanta game?
I think he's fine, but he's so expensive at $7,300. Like, he has to have, like, a gotta-have-it score for him to be able to pay off. Like, he's going to need 25, 26, 27 DK points, I think, to be optimal. And so, for me, like, I don't necessarily love it. I don't like picking on this Falcons defense. This Falcons defense has been pretty damn good. And so, like, I don't hate it, but, like, I just think there's better plays in and around him.
Yeah, I think, you know, the HN thing just gets interesting to me because the way that he gets utilized in this offense, especially without Tyreek Hill there. And, I mean, they're, you know, I mean, pretty much Tua's going to be the Fresh Prince meme in the living room, you know, because I think they're definitely going to be sellers and get rid of pieces. And, like, HN might be the only one, you know, left there for him. But maybe not. Who knows? But, I do find it interesting on the other side of that game because I could see, like, Waddle popping off in some projection systems and optimizers this week. And like you said, I mean, HN might get priced out because of, you know, where he comes in at 7,300. But I think he's an interesting spot. And, you know, he was seeing 10-9 targets, you know, when Tyreek Hill was still in the mix. So I think this offense just has been reeling across the board, which has kind of led to that volume. But, you know, interesting play there because I think that, you know, I'll probably he's not a priority play for me by any means, but I could see myself, you know, getting on a little mini stack there in that Miami and Atlanta game where I expect points to be had. Kev, let's talk about wide receiver and open this up, because you know we do have some studs here, and we also have a lot of injury situations that are making making some value plays stand out at the wide receiver position. You know, we talk about the top, Ja'Marr Chase, and you know, Ja'Marr Chase is just he's going to be popping off on the page for everyone this week and in this matchup, especially if Sauce Gardner ends up being out at 8,100. I mean, you could just you don't need to do much research or digging to talk yourselves into playing Ja'Marr Chase with the usage that he's been seeing in this offense. 26 receptions, 35 targets over the past 2 weeks since Joe Flacco's been at the helm. I mean, they're force feeding the ball to their best players, and that's what we love for fantasy. So yeah, Ja'Marr Chase is definitely a starting point for me at the position. Love to see CeeDee Lamb come back off an injury and just get right back into the mix. You know, this Dallas defense has been, or excuse me, the Denver defense has been so stingy thus far, but I know this game will be popular. So I think people will, you know, talk themselves into him, especially over George Pickens, who's only 7,100, but because of, you know, the way that this defense plays and how they've been shadowing, you know, the best wide receiver on the other side, George Pickens does become interesting for me in that game at only 7,100, as I think he'll be the forgotten child here, and they could definitely lean on him a little bit more. Ibuka is going to be a talking point too, with no Mike Evans, who pops up on the IR and will not be finishing the season for Tampa Bay. He's 7K. He's $1,100 cheaper than Ja'Marr Chase, but he's still 7K. Do people just want to go down and play a cheap option from Tampa Bay with the injury there to Mike Evans? Drake London has, you know, quietly been, you know, putting together a year with him. I know he's kind of boom or bust. He has these big weeks and doesn't show up some other weeks, and you know, tough to find the end zone with this guy all the time, but this is an exciting game there, and I think Drake London makes for, you know, incredible leverage off of Bijan Robinson if you're not playing him, because Penix has seemed to, you know, had the propensity to find and get him the ball a lot. So I think he becomes interesting. You know, for me, I think I'm going to have interest in Ja'Marr Chase because I want to play Flacco. A guy who's just, I don't know what they did with this price. Zay Flowers, like 5,400. I'm not willing to say that I'll lock him in, Kev, but like he's going to be on more than 50% of my rosters at this price. Like,
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's just, he's incredibly too cheap. He's a 6K player, really, you know, with Lamar, he could be close to the high sixes, low sevens. And the way that he's utilizing this offense, like 5,400, I'm going to be jamming him in. Like, I really just don't care about it, whether he's in game stacks or solo or not. Like, the price is just incredible. I definitely have to think about T. Higgins this week if I'm going to be interested in Joe Flacco. I love Tet McMillan, and, you know, he's going to be one of my bring back players on Josh Allen teams and rosters to get exposure to that. I know you mentioned the Bears guys, like Roma Dunze is definitely going to be interesting, but I think even the cheap Bears guys, you know, with DJ Moore still kind of being banged up, you know, I talked about Luther Burden last week. You know, you were kind of mentioning him, you know, coming off the bye, him getting more involved. Luther and or Alameda Zacchaeus, like, these guys are going to have roles in this offense, and you know, Ben Johnson's just willing to get playmakers the ball. So if we can see some points being scored in that, I'd be willing to take shots on cheap options like that. I think, you know, you have cheap options in Tampa with Tez Johnson, who's definitely interesting there at 4,300. I definitely like getting exposure to a cheap Tampa pass catcher with the way that the offense shapes up for them. And then the only other guy that I wanted to talk to, because I think there's a lot of interesting ways that you can take this slate, Kev, from a wide receiver perspective, is Josh Reynolds at 3,900. You know, if we want to get the expensive running backs in our in our lineups, we're going to have to do some bargain digging. And Josh Reynolds comes in, you know, he's not going to jump off the page all too much, but did see 9 targets last week. It is a new quarterback there, some injuries that are that the Jets are dealing with. So I could really, you know, see myself getting to him in the game stacks, as I was talking about, you know, overstacking with that Jets and Cincinnati game. And Josh Reynolds is a nice way to be able to do so. It's also a fun tight end that, you know, you could always do that with too, that we'll talk about. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, where I'm starting at this week, and kind of where my head's at is obviously always going to be, you know, taking guys who are tied to my quarterback first and foremost, which will be, you know, probably the Cincinnati side, the Tampa Bay side, I mean, I guess the Philly side, even though I didn't mention them, but the Baltimore side with Lamar. But, you know, Zay Flowers is just going to be a one-off play for me all across the board. And there might be some other one-off plays that you like, Kev. Where are you going at the wide receiver position this week with your builds?
Yeah, it's funny you speak of Philadelphia, and we talked about that and how cheap A.J. Brown was last week. What was he, like 5,800 or whatever he was?
Yeah, 5,800.
And he came close. I mean, if it looks, I mean, he fell down basically because to wrap up the game, but like he came close to being able to get a second touchdown there, which would have been nice. But yeah, had quite a bit of A.J. Brown last week too. But I think, you know, obviously, you know, you've already said it. I mean, Jamar Chase is just it's hard not to want to lock button him in because Joe Flacco is just laser locked onto him. And it's a very consolidated target share, which is also really good. I mean, T. Higgins is also in play. He's significantly cheaper at 5,600. He saw 10 targets last week against the Steelers as well. But, I mean, Jamar Chase is in such an incredible spot. But Odunze, great spot. Already kind of talked about him. But, you know, I think some of his, like, not, like, or I went on a little bit of a regression, I guess, over the how he started, but a lot of it, like I said, they just haven't had to throw the ball in recent weeks. You know, the last two games, you know, he's seen 11 targets, where previously to that it was 9, 11, 7, 8 targets every single game, and then they came out of their bye and they went super run heavy and they just didn't have to throw the ball anymore. And so if people are going to not be as high on Rome Odunze, I mean, I'm gonna have a ton of them because he's way too cheap.
Yeah.
And what is arguably one of the best matchups on the slate. And so really like him. I think Cortland Sutton's like kind of interesting, but also not at the same time, because like this team's number one wide receiver, but he's still only seeing a 20% target share, which isn't great. 7.1 targets per game. I will say is he does see a 33.6% first read target share, which ranks top 12 among all wide receivers. So that's a positive, but the matchup's phenomenal. I mean, the Cowboys, again, they allow the third most receiving yards, the most receiving touchdowns, and the second most DraftKings points to wide receivers. So it's hard not to like Cortland Sutton at $6,200, but there's a lot of volatility there with him. And I think you could also play their cheaper wide receivers and I think I kind of lean towards Marvin Mims. Like he's much more boom or bust, but like in GPPs, it's kind of what you're looking for is more of a higher ceiling. And I think Marvin Mims provides that over Troy Franklin, where Troy Franklin has been like more involved in terms of like targets every single week. I think he has, I don't know. I think he, he's seen five or more targets in every game this year, but I think two, but he hasn't done anything with them, where Marvin Mims has been more explosive. So I do think Marvin Mims is an interesting play as well in that same game against the Cowboys. And then from there, Devonta Smith. I really like Devonta Smith this week as well. Again, a little more boom or bust in his profile because he has, for him, he has, he has three games of basically being a top 10 scoring wide receiver, but then he also has four games of 9 or fewer DraftKings points. So it's kind of a feast or famine with him, but he's heavily involved in the passing game inside the red zone. He's a 26% target share inside the red zone, which is top 11 among all wide receivers. And then you also have A.J. Brown, who's dealing with this hamstring issue right now. Now it does sound like one of their beat reporters said today that they still expect him to play. That it's not a major issue right now, but it is still somewhat concerning. You know, if your wide receiver is dealing with a hamstring injury, and the Eagles are on bye next week, so if they were to sit AJ Brown in this spot, I mean Devonta Smith becomes pretty much a lock button play at $5,900. because the Giants have been terrible against wide receivers, allowing the fourth most DraftKings points to the position. So I, Devonta, whether AJ Brown plays or not, I have a lot of interest in Devonta Smith. But if AJ Brown were to miss, then I would just probably be all in on Devonta Smith in this spot against the Giants at home. And then I think Wandell Robinson's also interesting. And it's crazy for me because like I haven't been a big Wandell Robinson guy. Like I've always been like, oh, whatever. He's just a short area guy. His A-dot is like right at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't see any deep targets. But that's really changed this year. Like I was digging into him today and like I was kind of surprised because he has 11 deep targets, which is top 7 among all wide receivers. He also has 6 red zone targets, which is top 20. And like he's been a lot more efficient with Jackson Dart at quarterback, and he's cheap. Like he's not expensive at all to be able to get to Wandell Robinson. He's $5,200. So like a good mini stack, you know, Devonta Smith and Wandell Robinson, like I like that. And so I like Wandell Robinson, and the Eagles have also allowed the 9th most DK points to wide receivers. So like I think there's a lot to like with Wandell Robinson. I think you can look there. Tez Johnson, agree with you on him. I think he's a good play. Cheaper option. I think he's like $4,300. But if you really want to get cheap, like we have all this value opening up with the Texans because Nico Collins isn't going to play. Yes, and yeah. Christian Kirk's not going to play. And Jalen Noel is only $3,500. And we saw last week, once Nico Collins went out, that's whenever they started to really feature him. And he had 4 catches for 77 yards, nearly scored a touchdown as well. And so I think Jalen Noel at $3,500 is a really good play against a 49ers defense that, like I said, it's okay. It's punching above its weight right now, but it has a ton of injuries on that defense. And the Texans are at home. And C.J. Stroud does a much better job at home than he does on the road. And so C.J. Stroud, I think, and I mean not C.J. Stroud, but Jalen Noel, and I think even Jaden Higgins, who probably steps into the Nico Collins role on this offense, the big, you know, X outside wide receiver, I think that's where he's going to play. And then you have Jalen Noel, and both of these guys are cheap, sub $3,500. And so because they didn't get any price bump because they played on the Monday night game. And so if you're looking for value, I think both of those guys are in play. I prefer Jalen Noel to Jaden Higgins, but I think both of them are definitely options.
Yeah, I like that you call that Houston situation there, because even with, if you were watching the Monday night game, you knew that Nico Collins was dealing with concussion-like symptoms and there was no chance he was coming back in that game. So figured he would be in that protocol, and he's got a Q tag right now. So it could be one of those things that people aren't really, you know, looking all that into from a casual standpoint, I guess that would be. But yeah, he will most likely be missing with not practice this week. So definitely love the call out there for the Houston pass catchers because some value opens up. I actually like their tight end that we'll talk about in a second, the way he's been utilized. But he's also dealing with some injuries too, so who knows what their receiving corps is going to look like. Kev, as we mentioned Tampa Bay, what, you know, how would you rank these guys outside of Egbuka when it becomes, you know, Sterling Shepard, Tez Johnson, and Cameron Johnson? Like, Sterling Shepard, he kind of has that rapport with Baker, at least that we think about from those who, you know, watch college days and whatnot. But, Tez Johnson has been so involved, and then, you know, they spread the ball around so much. I'm curious to see where your head's at of how to attack their receiving corps right now.
It would be Tez Johnson. I mean, Tez Johnson, the last 2 weeks, has played 70% of the snaps, ran 80% of the routes. And, you know, he's been last week, he also saw 9 targets in that game against the Lions. It's not a bad matchup. The Saints have allowed the 8th most touchdowns and the 15th most DraftKings points to wide receivers. So I do think Tez Johnson is also in play. He's a lot more of the deep threat as well on this offense. So I don't mind him. He would definitely be the one that I would want to target. But I also think their tight end is also super viable as well. But I think Tez would be one, and then I'd probably go Sterling Shepard and then Cameron Johnson.
Yeah, I like that. I tend to agree. The one guy that we also didn't really dive into, though, is Calvin Ridley. You know, he could possibly be back. He, last time we saw him play, he got injured early on in the game, caught one pass, and then had to leave. But before that, looked like they were doing everything to get him going. Now, the interesting thing with Calvin Ridley is we get close to the trade deadline. Like, is Tennessee going to be sellers? Are they going to be looking to move him? Because they have not won a game yet this season, and he could, you know, probably pay back dividends to them if they were able to move him. So, you know, it's always that thing. Like, do they shut him down because he's being shopped, or they showcase him because he's being shopped? Who knows? But he's only 4,900. He's kind of been at this price tag for quite some time. And then that Indy game where we're expecting points, you know, on one side of the football, you know, he makes for an interesting and intriguing bring back. Although, you know, these other guys, the rookie and then DK there for Tennessee have been involved. So not sure if there's any interest of you there, but thought I'd mention that, because the last time he played a full slate, he was out there, you know, wreaking havoc with Cam Ward.
I don't think he plays. He hasn't practiced yet this week. He missed practice again today, so I doubt he plays. I think you're going to see Elike Omaner, Van Jefferson, and Chamari DK.
The corpse of Van Jefferson.
Yeah, well, DK probably. I mean, he's coming off the game. He had 70 yards, thinking a touchdown. Omaner, I still think, is interesting. He's still seeing targets. He just hasn't really been able to connect like he was earlier in the year. But he's still only $3,900. But I will say, I mean, the Colts, this is a phenomenal matchup. The Colts are terrible against opposing wide receivers. I think they're allowing the most DraftKings points to wide receivers. So, like I was like, man, could you play Cam Ward? I'm like, no, you can't play Cam Ward. Like, because, like, Cam Ward is like $4,600. And, like, I can't do it. But, like, I don't mind it. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's just Cam Ward and this offense is just not looking very good. Even with Mike McCoy now as head coach. I can't see myself playing like an AO Maynard whenever I, you know, Marvin Mims is also $3,900. Like, just I don't see the intrigue. You know, Luther Burden is cheaper at $3,800. And I would just, or I would go down to, you know, like I said, Jalen Dole or something like that. I just think there's better options somewhere else.
There might be a Cam Ward game brewing. You never know. Could be week eight. Could be week eight where things are shaping up. Now that you talked it into the, you know, you put it out there in the ether, you might have talked it into existence, Kev.
I mean, who knows? You know, he doesn't need to do a ton. Like, if he goes out and has a game where he throws for 250 and, you know, two touchdowns, you know, he might be viable.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a funny call. But yeah, I mean, the wide receiver call out there on the other side is interesting, and they're going to need to throw the ball because they haven't been able to establish the run, and they've been playing from behind. So interesting situation there for Tennessee on the other side of that Colts game. Kev, let's talk about tight ends, and it's the year 2025. Jake Ferguson is your highest priced tight end on a slate that consists of, I mean, rookie, but Tyler Warren and George Kittle. You know, I guess those are the two we don't have, like, but we have Mark Andrews. We have Mark Andrews on the slate. We don't have like Trey McBride or Brock Bowers or Travis Kelce, but just seeing Jake Ferguson at the top there at 6K is absolutely wild. $500 more expensive than Tyler Warren. George Kittle back on the slate too at 4,500. You know, I think people were excited, maybe a week early, I'm excited to play George Kittle last week. And now that we have tight end week among us, does George Kittle go out there and win a ball and show out against Houston? Interesting narrative there. I think for me, when I'm talking about the tight end position, I do like Dalton Schultz a ton at 3,300 with the way that this receiving corps is shaping out for Houston. CJ just leaned on him so much in that game, and he could potentially be doing so again as well against this front seven. They do have some stout pieces to be able to, you know, guard the middle of the field there for San Francisco. But, you know, Dalton, if he's healthy, he just might get a healthy workload and be asked to do a whole bunch. I do like Mason Taylor, granted that he's healthy and able to go. I know that he's not practicing, so that's definitely something that we have to monitor. Kind of why I mentioned Josh Reynolds as well too, because there could just be minimal mouths to feed there for the Jets. But if Mason Taylor is able to go, I like him on the other side of that Cincinnati game. And then Kate Otten is the other guy for me. Like, I'm going to go cheap, Kev, at tight end this week. I think we can, and definitely some other high-priced pieces that I want to get in at other spots. So, Cade Otton with the pieces missing there, too. I think he lines up to be in a good spot. You know, there's just nothing that really jumps off the page for me for the high-priced tight ends this week, or those that are coming in high price. So, you know, I'm gonna go cheap and fill up my lineup that way, and probably, you know, tie God to the quarterback or bring back where I can, and call it a day, at least at this point in time. What are you feeling like you're doing at tight end this week, Kev?
Yeah, I'm sad that Mason Taylor looks like he injured himself in practice on Wednesday, which is why he popped up and didn't practice today. It sounds like a quad injury. So I don't know. We'll have to see if he practices tomorrow, because this is like the best matchup. Well, it's not kind of, it is the best matchup for any tight end. The Bengals allow the second most receptions, the most receiving yards, the most touchdowns. And like, it's almost like 5 DraftKings points more per game to opposing tight ends right now. Now, some of that is also boosted by the Steelers absolutely destroying them last week with all their tight ends. But,
with all their tight ends.
Yes. But I mean, I think this further shows you like just how bad they are against tight end position. And so like Mason Taylor would be an elite play, especially at his cost. Like, he is just a little bit cheaper than I think he should be at $3,500. And then you mentioned Cade Otton. Don't need to get too far into it, but I will say that the Saints do allow the fourth most touchdowns to tight ends. And we've really seen a pretty significant jump for Cade Otton. He's been targeted nearly 7 times a game over his last 3 games. So I think the opportunity to usage is definitely there for him, but it is a good matchup for Cade Otton. I'm going to go right back to Noah Fant. Well, talked about him, but Noah Fant played a season high 64% of the snaps and ran 69% of the routes. Also a season high last week against the Steelers. Finished with, you know, in that first game with 4 catches, 44 yards and a score. But still, it's a good matchup. The Jets allow the second most touchdowns and the 11th most DraftKings points to tight ends. So Noah Fant, also cheap, $3,200. And then how about a little Colston Loveland breakout game this week? Okay. He played a season high 65% of the snaps last week, 55% of the routes. Obviously, Cole Kmet is going to be out. Now, he didn't really do a whole lot, 3 catches for 24 yards. But I also, again, they were just manhandling that game against the Saints. They didn't really have to throw the ball very much. And so if this changes this week, I think Colston Loveland definitely gets involved here. And the Ravens, not surprising, not great against tight ends. 10th most receiving yards and the 8th most DraftKings points to tight ends. And so, you know, with no Cole Kmet, who's dealing with what sounds like a herniated disc in his back, Colston Loveland, breakout game could be coming. And he is cheap as well. I think he is 3K. Yeah, he's 3K. And so I do like Colston Loveland. I'm going to have some exposure to him as another option. And I totally agree with you with Dalton Schultz. He's in play with the guys that are hurt. And so I think I'm going to be playing cheap tight ends. Now, you don't have to do too much to talk me into like a George Kittle. I know people were upset because he didn't do anything last week. You know, I feel like George Kittle every tight end week or National Tight End Day, he just crushes every single time. And so he's $4,500, a little bit too cheap for him. I don't mind it. I also think Dallas Goedert is also a kind of a sneaky play as well. The last time these two teams faced, he saw 11 targets in that game, 9 catches, 110 yards, maybe a little bit chasey, but you know, there for a while he was kind of rolling. And so I know last week wasn't as good against Minnesota, but that was because AJ Brown and Devonta Smith did all the heavy lifting. And then, oh, Theo Johnson is the other one. Don't mind him. Last time he had 4.7, but he's been pretty decent so far with Jackson Dart. 4 games, 10.7, 21.3, 4.7, and 15.6 DraftKings points for Theo Johnson. So I think you could also look there, you know, for a tight end as well, $3,700.
Yeah, National Tight End Day. I mean, we got to, you know, these are guys that we should be loving, because the touchdowns are just going to be flowing there on Sunday. But you know, not a lot that jumps off the page all across the board. But that could be the reason why we see some of these guys pop off. So interesting from that standpoint. But yeah, I definitely think cheap tight end is the way to go. And love the call out there, Kev, for Colston Loveland. I mean, you know, Cole Kmet is in. jeopardy, which it looks like it'll happen, of missing his first NFL game. I believe he's the Iron Man right now, has not missed a game yet. So this could be a first one, and you know, could be step right on up for Colson Loveland to get going and see that see why the Bears invested in this guy, you know, with their first round pick. So fun to call that out there, and especially with him being only 3K in a matchup that's going to warrant a lot of ownership for DFS perspective. Let's talk about defense, Kev, before we wrap up. And, you know, for those of you who've been listening along, DJ Nation podcast here, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_Authority. We appreciate you guys rocking along with us in the DJ Nation pod all season long. And we love being able to break down the action, break down the picks with you on DraftKings here on every week. And as we get ready to do defense and then build out our Millie team for week 8. Let's talk about some of these defenses, Kev. And I think we have like one of the highest priced defenses on the year so far, with the Colts being 3,800 going against Tennessee there. That's a hefty price tag that you have to look at. We've been definitely, you know, talking about it pretty much all season long, of 3K defenses and lower, you know, being in good spots and where to target. And you know, there are some interesting spots here. When you get down, I mean, it doesn't always seem, you know, great to go against Buffalo, but as much as I like, Josh Allen on the other side, you know, potentially Carolina's defense does show up and is able to play contain. Maybe they're able to play spoiler against Buffalo there at only 2,200. I think they're interesting. The Dallas Cowboys defense to me is interesting, just with the way that this Dreckel and Hyde offense that we've been getting from the Broncos. It's a home game for the Broncos, which makes me a little bit weary to play them, but you know, at only 2,400, why not? We'll take a shot on it. I do think that they've been getting a little bit better each week under, you know, Matt Eberflus's regime, and that could be because, you know, maybe they're getting a little bit more acclimated into that system. The Browns defense, you know, they've just been fun to target, you know, all year against good teams. And, you know, they just play with a lot of heart. They're going against this New England team, which, you know, New England's been popular. I mean, Drake May's got himself in the MVP conversation right now, right? But with this Browns defense, you know, they're definitely going to be bringing it to showcase in New England. And so I do have interest in them. And then I'll probably, you know, have a little bit of interest in the Houston Texans defense at 3K, you know, kind of as that like spend up option there, if we will, even though they got some weapons in the San Francisco range. I mean, like I said, this Houston defense has just been playing lights out, forcing turnovers where they can, keeping the team in the game. And again, a home matchup there at only 3K. I think I can get behind that. Kev, what are you doing at defense this week, and what are you liking?
Well, the first thing we always do is scroll the F down, right, for defenses to see. Last week it was the Panthers that we were really high on. They paid off. I think they scored like 18 DraftKings points. They were definitely a phenomenal play at $2,500. For me this week, there's not really like a super cheap defense that I have like a ton of interest in, but I think it starts for me at the Bengals at $2,700. You know, we kind of talked about it already with this game, but the Jets are allowing – over the last three, 6.7 sacks per game. So I do think the Bengals are at least viable, and it looks like Trey Hendrickson's going to be back. He practiced today, so that is a positive, especially for those pass rush. But the Jets are allowing the third most DraftKings points to opposing defenses right now. And like I said, 6.7 sacks per game is just absolutely ridiculous right now. And so I do like the Bengals. They're $2,700. I also think the 49ers are in play at $2,900. Again, we talked about all the missing pieces for the 49ers or the Texans offense, and their offensive line is absolutely anemic. Like, it terrible. Is terrible. And so even though 49ers lost, you know, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, this defense has still played pretty well. They got a lot of young pieces on this defense. They invested heavily in this defense in the draft. And so $2,900 49ers.
4,900.
Is also a spot to look at. Now, if you want to pay up a defense, I mean, the Colts, Falcons, and Bucks are all really, really good plays. But they're also more expensive, $38, $35, and $3,400. But all three of those defenses are set up really well. Like the Falcons, I probably would just play the Falcons. I probably wouldn't pay all the way up for the Colts. But the Falcons have been really good this year. And this Dolphins defense or offense has been atrocious. They're now allowing over 3 sacks per game, top 8. And Tua is tied with Geno Smith with 10 turnovers as well. So I think there's a lot to like here. And the Falcons defense is quietly just been really good. They rank top 15 in sacks. They're 6th in INTs, 14th in forced fumbles. Like, this defense is really good for the Falcons. And so I think the Falcons would definitely be in play. And then obviously the Bucks are as well. I think the Bucks are, you know, we know Todd Bowles brings a lot of pressure. He ranks top 5 every year in pressure rate. And the Saints defense has started to crumble a little bit. And they've now allowed the 11th most DraftKings points to opposing defense. So I think those are probably my top 3 if I was going to pay up, but I just would probably prefer to pay down for like the Bengals against the Jets or the 49ers against the Texans.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one there. And I mean, even the Giants at maybe 2,100, we kind of talked about them a little bit. It is at Philly, but you know, this game was played pretty tough last time. So,
I was like 50-50. Like, that's all I played was the Panthers and the Giants. I split it up basically 50-50, did 50% Panthers, 50% Giants. And the Giants were looking like a great play there for a while. $2,200, like through the first 3 quarters, like, okay, all right, Giants coming through. And then all of a sudden,
they were?
Until they weren't. And they just exploded.
And then they got to ask themselves, do they know Bo? And they learned. They learned last Sunday. Wild. You won't see it. You know, that's a once in a lifetime sequence of events that you'll be able to see. 33 points in the fourth quarter is absolutely outrageous after being shut out. But yeah, it happens. And it did against this team. So maybe that's a demoralizing spot, or maybe it's a bounce back rah-rah spot. We'll see. But only 2,100. I think there's some interest there. All right, Kev, Millie to make a team time. For the DGen Nation fam, you know how we do it. We got to build this lineup out. We put it into the Millie Maker. There's 161,764 entrants in it, but it's no problem because we're about to build out the winner right here, right now, for the DGen Nation fam. So Kev, we'll start it off. I'll start it off this time and, let's see what we can do here. You know what? I'm going to start off the board here and I'm just going to say, we're playing Zay Flowers at 5,400. We're just going to throw him in there with Lamar expected to play. I'll put that as a caveat.
All right. Well, then I'm going to go with Caleb Williams at 5,600.
Okay, let's go. I like where we're headed here. Let's go Derrick Henry at 6K.
All right. Plug in Roma Dunze.
Let's see what we can do. Play Chase Brown for Cincinnati. See if we can, are we doing a 3 running back build this week?
Yes, we're going to have to. I'm going to go Colson Loveland at tight end.
All right. So we put in Loveland. He's only 3K. I'll cop out, Kev, and I'll put Brown's defense into this lineup, which gives us 7,900 per position left. So I'll let you pick. Do you want the wide receiver or do you want the flex?
Would you rather do the Browns or would you rather do the Bengals, who offer the correlation with the Chase Brown?
All right, let's see what the Bengals offer us with only $200 more.
Okay,
so then so still 7,800.
At flex, we're just going to go ahead and plug in Bijan, which still leaves $6,800 for a wide receiver.
And you know what, Kev? I'm going to say. Well, here's what we could – so it's either we play London and we leave 400 on the table, or we go Browns D and then we play Igbuka.
Let's do that. Let's just drop down to the Browns and go –
Browns D. Yeah, that seems like the reason. But, I mean, I don't mind getting all the exposure to Atlanta as well, but I think this is the right move for now. All right. And it's just as simple as that. So we got a fun one. We got the Bears game stack with Caleb Williams, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, Roma Dunze, Colson Loveland. Then we have Chase Brown, exposure to Cincinnati team, low leverage off of a popular Jamar Chase, Emeka Ibuka, and other wide receiver position, Bijan Robinson, and our flex, and the Browns D at 2,500 caps it off, and that uses all of the salary there for our team. Don't need to worry about who's in the flex because all three running backs play in that noon window of slates. And we're going to enter this into the Millie right now and see what happens on Sunday. See what happens with our teams. We've been building some pretty solid teams on the Thursday, Kev. So I know that we'll get a solid winner here. But any final words for the people before we wrap up the Week 8 show?
No, I think just go with the good chalk. If we haven't learned that by now this year, just last year was a lot of the same too. Like just embrace chalk. Like I used to be very much like, oh no, anytime a player would get like 25-30%, like oh, I'm out on that. You know, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to fade the chalk. And, you know, I feel like it used to be not a bad strategy, but like recently, like I just feel like the field's gotten so smart. I think that's where it comes from. And the field has, you know, we're now just getting really good chalk. And instead of trying to get cute and try to avoid those chalks of plays, I think you're just better off just playing the chalk and just building around it, like making some small moves around it instead of just trying to go completely against the grain and, you know, just go and like years past, I'd have been like, man, I don't know, Cam Ward, look at this spot, like great spot. Like, let's play some Cam Ward. Like now I'm like, no, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to follow, you know, some of the best plays and some of the best spots. And I think more often than not, at least it's been leading you in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'll take it maybe a little bit in a different direction, but kind of a step further where you can build. I think you can build with some chalk, right? And see, make that be maybe your core, your staple, or however you want to look at it. But don't be afraid to take shots and go off the board as well, too. I mean, we just did that in a Millie team where, you know, Jamar Chase is expected to be chalk, but we're going to take the running back there, hope all the touchdowns flow to his way. He could still end up being a good play, and we're still able to get some solid plays on paper that are going to be popular with that team. So, you know, be smart with your build. You know, look, I mean, there's just projections, simulators, optos, like so much stuff out there, Kev, as you're alluding to with the field getting smarter. So the plays that are, you know, popping out on paper, like they're popping out for a reason. So definitely try to, you know, don't go off the board where you're saying, all right, I'm not going to play any of those guys because more often than not, some of them are going to pop off, most of them maybe, but don't be afraid to take shots on some of your ancillary plays and your stacks as well. And just, you know, try and build smart lineups, make sure they tell a story. And that's what's good. But yeah, Kev, Week 8, man, is going to be in the books. Wild that we're going to be already pretty much halfway through the season already. It seems like we just started doing these with the DJ Nation fam yet again. But DJ Nation fam, as always, we appreciate you rocking along with us. You already know the drill if you've been listening along. But for those who are just coming in, again, DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authority is where you can follow us on Twitter and X. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate that. Subscribe to the channel. Like the videos. That goes a long way for us and goes a long way for the community. We appreciate that. Link in the description for the Discord, to the Discord. Definitely check that out as well, too. We'd love to have you guys over there chopping it up and chatting it up. For Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rap 13, the Godfather is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Hey, Fantasy Rap 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X, but he's the Godfather. He's the one that makes it go. But that's where you're going to find him, his handle. Myself, Ryan Williams, at RyanAlexander_W. We will catch you. We'll catch the DJ Nation fam next time for Week 9 breakdown, Week 9 DFS picks. But until then, you guys already know what to do. Get this money. Peace. Who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces, but that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're.
big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.